Vectis FM 104.6 with me, Jonathan Bacon. It's just gone midday, in fact it's 10 minutes past, and I'm very pleased to be joined in the studio by Peter and Bob from the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good afternoon, sorry.
So, the steam railway has been in the news of late, and indeed on Channel 4.
Yes, all in a good way, actually.
Yes, I suppose he could the other way, couldn't
he? Absolutely, yes.
So, Peter, could you tell our listeners what, because they may have missed this, what's been going on with Channel 4?
Okay, well, what it was, I was approached late in 2016, I think it was, and the proposal that was put to us was, do we have a project, a carriage restoration project, that could be achieved in 6 months? Well, anyone who's been to our railway will realise that we sort of operate Edwardian and Victorian carriages, and wooden-bodied, and all very complex. And a normal restoration takes something like 4 to 4.5 years. So when we're being asked, well, can you do it in 6 months? Well, no, not really. But anyway, then it became clear what the story of the programme was. And what they were looking to do was to find four different carriage restoration projects from across the country, all from different eras, and then to pull the four carriages together to be hauled by one train at a later date. And it all sounded pretty interesting. And of course, you know, don't mind saying, the carrot to the Isle of Wight Steam Railway particularly was prime time television exposure almost. So so we said yes.
And well, how did it go? The programme has been out now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was aired mid-June, which actually wasn't an ideal time in a way, because the plan was it was going to be sort of on air sort of January or February on a Sunday evening at around about 8 o'clock, sort of a prime slot. So we thought, great, this will be lovely. Unfortunately, with these programme schedules, things are never certain until near the time. And it turned out, as I say, it was actually aired on a Wednesday evening in summer, in June. So it wasn't an ideal time, but an awful lot of people saw it. And I've got to say, we've had some wonderful feedback, because there's always a little bit of a worry that just how we come across, you know, if we're portrayed as a bunch of well-meaning but not professional people. Well, actually, it was a complete reverse. We came across as we are, a very professional organisation. I've got to say that on the film, the drone shots of the railway, and indeed the Isle of Wight, all came across incredibly well. So we were absolutely delighted with it. So it's a really good...
Splendid. And we were just saying outside before we came to the studio is... if people did miss the programme, and I have to admit I was one of those that did.
Yes.
Is it available anywhere? I've just been having a little route around, and it looks as if it's there on the Channel 4 website.
Yes.
If one looks, Great Rail Restorations with Peter Snow, it's episode 2, entitled 1864 Carriage.
That's the one.
But appears to be there for people to watch.
Yeah.
So, we'd heartily encourage them to do so.
That's the great thing with technology, that even though it's been on television, it's been and gone, it's still there to be seen. So really do try and have a look at it, because it was a great show and it was entertaining. I've got to say that people who perhaps aren't hugely interested in railways have come back to me and said, well, actually, it was an interesting thing, because it was telling a story as well about how the carriage came to be saved from destruction almost. It became sort of a holiday home in someone's garden in Brent Bembridge, and the daughter of the chap who had the carriage, she actually appears on the show, and it was just lovely for her, because the carriage which she remembered as a young child and played in as a young child, suddenly there she was riding in it. So, and a lady called Sarah Vernon, who still lives in Bembridge, and Sarah is actually shown sort of travelling this carriage, so it's great.
Fantastic. And Bob, can I bring you in here? Because you were more on the technical side, I think, weren't you?
Yes, I was basically the project manager for it.
I'm not a very technical person, but there'll be people out there who love this sort of thing and will want to know what were the key things you had to do, what were the real difficult tasks and the bits of engineering that had to be dealt with.
The biggest challenge was the underframe. It didn't have one.
Ah.
But when the carriage was sold off to be a holiday home, the underframe was broken up. These carriages from that era had wooden underframes. It's something that's never been done in the preservation world before, to recreate a new wooden underframe. So that was a big challenge, big design project.
And particularly with the sort of timescale you were dealing with.
Absolutely. It's fortunate that we had been looking to do this type of carriage before, and a lot of the work, a lot of the research, a lot of the planning and thought had already been put into it by our team of experts at the railway. But what we had to do was accelerate that process and bring on the designs very rapidly and find people that could actually produce the components that we needed.
So how many people were working on this project at its height?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. yeah, we had a dozen full-time staff and many, many volunteers. I mean, lots of people did peripheral bits on it.
I mean, we did actually take on two chaps, particularly for the six-month period, to help with the project as paid people. Obviously, we had lots of volunteers as well. The interesting thing is, these two chaps turned out the railway's given them a permanent contracts of employment. So something really good came out of it from that viewpoint as well.
That's fantastic. So, you know, publicity and employment, can't get much better than that.
That's right.
But were you able to find all the expertise on the island? Or was, again, it probably would help if I'd seen the programme, but were you having to source special expertise from around the country? How did that go?
Yeah, we used specialist firms from around the country, some we've worked with before, some not. We had to get springs made for it. We had to get axle boxes and specialist castings designed. But it's... That part of it was fairly routine stuff we've done before. The big part was the underframe, this wooden underframe. There's a lot to talk about with that, actually, but that was a major project.
Talk away, because it's fascinating. Yeah. Was that done on the island, that part done on the island?
No, the biggest problem with a timber underframe that size, we're talking about 21 feet long, and to get decent box of timber that sort of size, you just can't find it these days. It's not processed. I say it's not produced. We're still growing trees, but but you can't get the timbers you need. So we've looked at a process called glue lam, which is laminated wood. It's been used in construction industry for over 100 years, a well-established process, but it hadn't been used on a railway carriage before. So that's where our designer went with the project, and he sourced a supplier, somebody in Avonmouth, who was importing it into this country from a, I believe it was a German supplier.
Yes, it was.
And they produced the underframe. You can actually see it. Well, it shows well on the programme. We've got pictures here on the desk. Doesn't help on media, but and it was delivered as a kit of parts and just all popped together in a couple of days. It was an amazing project.
Just popped together in a couple of days.
Yeah.
I suppose that's developed some skills that can now be used for other carriages and other restorations.
You've Absolutely.
Sort of breaking ground there.
Yeah, it made good sense to buy two sets of parts at the same time. So we've now got an underframe kit for the next carriage that we do of that type.
So is that a project that's already lined up? Are you just waiting to find another carriage?
We've got other carriages to do. What we're waiting for is workshop time and space. We've got a lot of other work that's got to be finished off before we can afford ourselves the luxury of another one of these carriages.
And the carriage that was restored, I mean, I've seen a picture of it. It looks absolutely fantastic. What is happening to that now? Can people actually have a ride on it?
No, it's not ready to ride in yet. It seems strange to a lot of people. When these carriages were built, they didn't have brakes. They ran for over 30 years on the island without any brakes at all. The only brakes you had was in the guard's van and the locomotive.
Okay.
And when we restored it to its original condition for the run on the television programme, we did it in that state without brakes. So since it's come back from the TV programme, we've been frantically fitting brakes to it.
And it doesn't sound as if the brakes are really necessary. It never used to have them, and it had a perfectly good ride without them.
Tell that to the Office of Road and Rail.
Ah. Who probably weren't there in 1864, were they?
Absolutely. But yes, we do need brakes, and it'll be a compatible braking system with the rest of our fleet. And it'll be able to run it in with normal trains.
So when might people be able to to have a ride.
We're hoping later this year, September.
Excellent. Well, I think it's probably time for us to have a few words from our sponsors, but you're able to stay with us for the hour, gentlemen.
Yeah.
And there's lots more to talk about with the steam railway. In particular, people talk about could the steam railway be extended? I think it'd be interesting to talk about that.
Okay,
and also
yeah.
It'd be great to hear about some of the things that are coming up at the steam railway and some of the events you've got over the next few months.
Yes, certainly.
So we'll come back in a moment to talk about that.
Vectors Radio, FM 104.6. For the people, by the people.
I'm very pleased to be in the company of Peter Vale and Bob Huxtable from the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. And we've been talking about the great railway restoration programme that they were involved in earlier this year, which we found out is still available to view on the Channel 4 website. But we were talking about your programme, Peter, but of course it was four carriages were restored, a programme on each, and then there was a fifth programme in which the carriages were all joined together and given an outing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the whole purpose of the programme, the story really was Peter Snow, the main presenter, was trying to put this carriage of this train together of carriages from different eras, and so our carriage was the oldest. Ours dated back to 1864, and the newest of the four carriages was a 1960s Pullman carriage, and quite genuinely in November of last year, 2017, this did actually happen. It actually happened on the Llangollen Railway in North Wales, and I was fortunate to go along just to see what was going on and so on, but I didn't appear in it, fortunately. But it was a wonderful thing, actually, because they did get the four carriages together, and well, Peter Snow, genuinely under supervision, did drive the train as well, so it was quite a nice series, and it was quite a nice thing for us, because we knew, obviously, of the other three carriage restorations, but we hadn't had direct contact with them until then. So we had a couple of nights in a hotel in Llangollen, and so we were able to sort of socialise and interact with the chaps from the other railways and sort of share experiences. So it was quite a nice thing, really.
So which were the other railways involved?
Okay, well, there was three. Well, one was from a railway works in a place called Tyseley, which is in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Another one was from the, is it Bolton and Embassy Railway? I'm not sure where that is. And where was the other one from?
Llangollen.
Oh, of course, yeah, Llangollen itself. Yeah, that was the third one. So we were all from different parts of the country, but we came together for this.
And one of the carriages, again, just looking at some of the information about the programme, one of the other carriages was one used by Queen Victoria, so a bit of an Isle of Wight connection there.
Yes, it was. That was the Bolton and Embassy Railway one, and that was a lovely carriage, which was got a lot of similarities in a way to what we do at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway in terms of the age of the carriage and the style of the restoration, whereas the 1960s obviously is modern construction, it was metal sides and so on compared to wood. So the Queen Victorian Saloon was it was a great project, actually, and they did a wonderful job on that, so it was good for us to see that one as well.
Just thinking about joining these four carriages together, Bob, you might be able to comment a bit more on this. Now, your one didn't have brakes. I assume at least the 1960 Pullman did have brakes.
Yes.
How did those different eras of technology combine? It must have been a bit of a test of the skills of the people involved.
Yeah, the other three carriages all had a vacuum brake system. So for the demonstration train, we put what we call a through pipe on our carriage, which carries the vacuum from one end of the coach to the other. So it meant it could be run in with their trains. And there was a vacuum-fitted guards van put on the end of the train. So out of the five vehicles in the train, four had brakes and ours didn't, so it was perfectly safe.
Were you in the middle then?
It was towards one end. There was
right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and obviously we've mentioned Peter Snow. He was the presenter. He's obviously a railway enthusiast.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he was involved in I think one or two sort of railway enthusiast type programmes. But I've got to say that he was a great chap to work with, and he was incredibly genuinely enthusiastic about Preserve Railways. You know, over and beyond what he was filming, he just wanted to know everything that we were doing. And so over the 6 months of the project, you know, quite genuinely he was coming out to our railway on a regular basis, and there was a little bit of stage management of Peter actually doing certain jobs on the carriages. You know, we saved bits for him to do and so on, so that was quite nice. And there was another presenter, a chap called Henry Cole, who I must confess I hadn't heard of before. But when he first arrived at the railway, and then people were running up to him for his autograph, I thought, someone must know who he is. And apparently he's quite involved in the motorbike world and presenting things to do with motorbikes. So a little bit beyond me. But again, a very interested chap, and, you know, very much an engineer, so a nice chap to work with. So again, if you see the programme, you know, that all comes across.
Yeah, well, I'm sure hearing you today, people out there will be I'm certainly going to go and watch it this evening, because it just sounds a fascinating project, and seeing what you produced at the end of the programme, the project, I'm really interested to see that piece of film with it actually running on a line. Yes. It must have been a great buzz for you to see that.
It was, yeah, absolutely. And the nice thing is, I mean, whilst the programme was being filmed and before it was aired, we were under a confidentiality agreement almost with the TV production company to not reveal the carriage for obvious reasons, because obviously it was all for the television programme. So anyone who visited our railway at Haven Street last year might have seen a big green sheet in our carriage and wagon workshop, and the work was going on behind this big green sheet. That's all now gone, and the carriage is it's very much on display to our visitors, and the doors are open so that people can see inside it. And I've got to say, it's attracted a huge amount of interest, and a couple of our chaps in particular who featured quite a lot in the TV programme, they've become sort of minor celebrities in a way, you know, because you hear people say, there he is, you know, that sort of thing. And one of our engines, one of our restorers in particular, a chap called Pete Jardine, he came across very well, and he's a very skilled man. And the production company said, you know, they're just loving it, because he's a little bit of a quirky character, is Pete, and to be honest, that's what they like. They like these sorts of...
getting his own series?
Yeah. This is, they sort of like these crazed engineer sorts, you know, so I think possibly Pete fitted into that category.
Oh, splendid. Well, you're talking about what's on show there, and maybe a little later this hour, I'd like to ask you about what's going on at the Steam Railway that people can come and see and get involved in. But one other thing I'm sure people out there would like me to ask about, because it's talked about a lot, certainly has been over the last few years, is the idea of an extension to the Steam Railway, and particularly extending it to St John's Station, which... Well, is that something that might happen, and how do you view that?
It's certainly something which we're very keen to do. So we're talking about extending our line. It's just, I believe, just over 1 mile from Smallbrook Junction, where we terminate at the moment. And what the aim is to run to St John's Road Station. So it's not a big distance, but it actually would make quite a difference to us, because if we were able to get into St John's Road... Smallbrook Junction is a bit of an oddity, really, because there's no road or footpath access to it. So anyone using that station can only do so to sort of transfer from the Island Line train to our trains, which works well. But as I say, it's a little bit of an oddity. if we were in St John's Road, obviously it's pretty major road access there, which would be great. There's a large car park at St John's Road, and particularly, I mean, we do. We're very fortunate. We have lots of groups, particularly in coaches, visiting us. And we would promote the coaches and so on to join us at St John's Road, with the passengers travelling to Haven Street almost as a destination. So it would keep the coaches off, you know, which roads which aren't ideal around Haven Street. So that's one of the carrots that we've got for wanting to do this. So it's an ongoing discussion we're having. The Island Line acquired a new franchise owner as about 12 months ago, actually, about this time last year. And it was South West Trains, it's now South Western Railway, which is run by the First Group. So we're sort of in ongoing discussions with them to see how this could be achieved. And there's lots of ideas about, I mean, there's a huge technical side to it, which Bob could probably comment on.
Well, I was going to say, what are the technical issues with this one, Bob? This is going to be a very big question. Very long answer.
How long have we got?
It's doable, though, on the technical side.
It's doable, but there's a number of issues there. It depends on how Island Line would want us to achieve the running into Wright St John's, whether we'd sort of share the same tracks, run in between their services, have one track totally for our own use. We've got a number of problems. How are they going to do their signalling in the future? If they go to a modern signalling system that requires onboard electronic equipment on their trains, if we're sharing their tracks, we're going to have to perhaps put something like that on ours.
Of course, they're at the moment running trains that are possibly older than some of the ones you've got, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. There's the other issue of if they keep it as an electric railway, third rail electric, we're running trains with no central locking, slammed doors. If the train should stop in section, people could open the doors and jump out on the live rail. You know, there's all sorts of things like that have got to be overcome.
But all doable.
All doable, but it takes a lot of planning.
And quite a bit of money,
yeah.
So I think it's fair to say that really discussions are ongoing, and there is a desire across the island and certainly within Isle of Wight Steam Railway, but I've got to say that within the top management at South Western Railway, you know, I think we'd all like to see it happen, but as Bob said, it's a case of how and getting over these hurdles.
Yeah, well, that's all very positive, because it's been talked about for some time, but to hear you say that, you know, you as the Steam Railway, you're keen, and that it can, despite the number of issues that will have to be dealt with, that it could be done, I'm sure a lot of people would be really have a really positive feeling about that, because I think it'd be great for the visibility of the Steam Railway.
Yes.
and the accessibility of it.
And indeed, you know, we're absolutely convinced it would be a pretty good thing for Isle of Wight tourism generally, because you know, we would our steam trains would be seen very clearly up alongside the Island Line trains in, you know, St John's Road is a lovely, genuine Isle of Wight station, and you know, we'd like to sort of showcase that and make good use of it. So it all makes sense really, but it's a case of you know, these things take time, and but you know, so I do see some progress, and I see lots of support, and that's great. So you know, yes, it's getting over the hurdles.
Absolutely. Well, talking about tourism and the steam railway, we'll come back in a few moments and talk about what, well, not just tourists, but what anyone who's interested in trains can come and see and do at the steam railway. But just for now, we'll have a few more words from our sponsors.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, for the people, by the people.
It's Jonathan Bacon here on Vectis 104.6 FM. It's just gone, I should say, 1:15, and I'm still here with Peter Vale and Bob Huxtable from the Isle of Wight Steam Railway, having a fascinating discussion about their involvement in the Channel 4 Great Rail Restorations program, and also some ideas about the future of the steam railway. But of course, you are one of our best attractions on the island for both locals and the visiting public Peter. So what's coming up at the Steam Railway over the next month or so?
Okay, well, as you say, we're sort of like to think we're sort of amongst the top five attractions. We certainly are in terms of visitor numbers. Each year we attract around about 115,000 visitors. Of course, now, sort of August, is the peak period when we hopefully become exceptionally busy. I've got to say that with this prolonged spell of lovely hot beach weather, we've possibly been a little bit less busy than we would expect to be, which is a bit of a shame, because in nice weather, that's when people can get to the railway at its very best. You know, it's just lovely countryside the train goes through, and there's so much to see and do at Haven Street. You know, so we do, and because we're less busy, it's probably a good opportunity for people to come out and see it without sort of being too overcrowded. And it throughout the month of August, every Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, we operate a two-train service. So, in other words, we do operate 7 days a week, but on those 3 days, we do run with two trains rather than one. So it's quite an interesting thing, seeing the two trains running together. And any visitors coming out to see us buy one ticket, and they can travel as much as they like throughout the day. And so that does mean that they can sort of hop on and hop off two different trains, which is all rather nice.
Splendid. And I think, is it this Sunday you've got one of the heritage days?
Yes. Oh. We have periodically what we call heritage days. I think we formerly called them heritage goods days, and the days when what we do is we restore, this is probably more Bob's area of expertise than mine, but we restore lots of lovely old vintage wagons, not passenger carrying carriages, and it's a demonstration.
Yeah, we've got a number of old wooden underframed goods trucks that used to run on the island, very iconic goods trains that you used to see plodding around the countryside back in the good old days. Coal traffic was one of the major things. We've got quite a few identical coal trucks restored now, so we could sometimes put on a coal train, sometimes put on a mixed goods train. Thing we haven't quite mastered yet is putting dummy loads of coal in the wagons, because obviously we don't want to we don't want to load them up with that horrible black stuff that weighs too much these days. Been lots of debate about whether we should put a false load in, because it should only be loaded going in one direction, of course, so it wouldn't be authentic.
Yes, not much point of
lots of debate about things like that, but
so people can see that that on Sunday specifically. Yeah.
Yes, on Sunday it is. You know, people can see this lovely demonstration of what used to run on the island. Plus, of course, we still have the passenger train as well, so get to travel as well.
So that's a pretty good day to visit, and apparently the weather's not going to be quite so good that day. So
good.
You might be looking at an influx of visitors. I think we've actually got a little bit of rain promised for over the weekend. So you're smiling though.
Well, actually, we you mentioned the weather, but steam rail. Well, notoriously, steam trains generate sparks because they've got sort of live fires in them, and so there has been a little bit of an issue with line side fires, and that's not just our railway; that's all preserved railways across the country, and so we have had to put an enormous amount of precautions in place to try and minimise this, but there's always been that risk, so we've been very, very vigilant. Fortunately, it's been very well managed, but I do know of at least one preserved railway that during this dry spell stopped all steam train services and moved purely to diesel. We couldn't do that because we've only got one diesel that can haul passenger trains, and it's not really man enough to do the job, not on a permanent basis. So we've carried on with steam, but being very carefully managed.
It's sort of obvious now you say it, but yes, that must have been a major concern the last few weeks.
Oh, totally it has, yeah, yeah. We've certainly had our moments.
let's not... It's all is good, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And as I say, the precautions we've put in place have worked well.
Splendid. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, of course, you've got your big event on the bank holiday, the Island Steam Show. Which I think runs over 4 days, is it?
It is 4 days, yes. It starts on Friday the 24th of August. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, up to and including Bank Holiday Monday the 27th of August. So this is the Ireland Steam Show. It's actually the 44th year we've been running the Steam Show.
Wow.
So it's become a little bit of an Ireland tradition almost.
And so what's going to be going on at the Steam Show? Obviously you'll be running trains, etc., as usual, but anything particular and special that people can come along and see on those days?
Yep, so it's an intense train service, and I mean, the sort of star of the show is lots of vintage vehicles, in particular sort of steam-driven vehicles. So lots of that going on. Then in addition to that, we have a number of arena acts with a compere explaining what's going on. And we've got various sheepdog shows. And we've got a motorbike display and various other things. So there's lots of things to see and do. I've got to say, it's not just for the steam enthusiast. It really is aimed at being a family event.
It's a good family day out, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Or even a couple of days, I think.
There's a beer tent there.
Oh, there's a beer tent, yes.
So one for the dads and the mums.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's a good day.
Oh, yes, we've got a craft tent as well.
Yeah, all different crafts, loads of things I'm sure I've not mentioned.
And we should have said with both these events, the Heritage Days and indeed your general opening, what are the times people should come along? What time do you open in the morning?
Well, generally, the first train of the day on normal days is at 10:05. This is from Haven Street Station. Yep. And so the booking office opens around about 10:15, so arrive from that time onwards to get the first train. But there's lots to see and do. And I must mention that in 2014, we opened our £1.2 million train story discovery centre. So that's just... it's really transformed our railway. There's lots to see and do in there, and there's quite a few interactive activities, particularly for younger visitors, and the opportunity to see some of these wagons and carriages that we've been talking about. So it's not just a train ride, there's a lot more to it. And in addition to that, we also have a falconry display, twice daily, which is put on by our friends from Haven Falconry. So that always goes down well. And it sort of is a little bit different from the steam trains.
Absolutely. So fascinating, loads for people to do. And it's not just the tourists as well. There's loads there for people who live on the island to come and see as well. Because sometimes I think people think of you as a purely tourist attraction, but it's something good for people here as well. There's lots they can come and see,
yeah,
and enjoy.
I mean, I've been involved with the steam railway now for sort of just over 13 years, and that's been one of the things that we've really tried to do, is to make the attraction, to give an interest and reason why people should come to the railway other than just to travel on the trains and so on. So it's great.
Splendid. Well, we're out of time now, I'm afraid. We could carry on talking for ages, and I'm sure if Bob, we'd ask you more technical questions, we could have seen ourselves through for a few days. But it's been really brilliant to have you both here and to hear everything that's happening with the steam railway. One of the great successes of the island, I think. So thank you very much, Bob.
Yeah,
thank you very much, Peter.
That's wonderful, Jonathan.
And we hope to have you back in the studio again, telling us maybe of more successes or the new TV show with your staff starring in it. That sounds like it's a possibility. But for now, thanks very much, chaps. And out there, thank you very much for listening to the show this morning. I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard, and particularly enjoyed the last hour. And I'll leave you with a bit of The Who. And coming up, it's whoever's next, and my mind has just gone completely blank, so apologies for that. But I'm sure there'll be a great afternoon coming ahead on Vectis Radio. But for now, I'll say bye-bye.